Okay. So now we start our last full session of changeover. You can see in the program that today we've got a session on forward thinking and forward planning. Before we'll have lunch, which will also include a bit of cleanup that we'll explain during lunch, then some final times with our teams for prayer and things like that before we head off in the afternoon. Hopefully by now, I've met many of you. My name's Matthew Hill. I'm the president of the EU. I was elected president again a couple of weeks ago by some of you guys who were there at the AGM. Thank you for coming along. The AGM was a great chance to talk about the previous year and some of the things we want to keep doing. Hopefully the AGM can keep being a central element of our calendar. And I think that's a good way to keep people on board with the whole ideas of the EU. Now, I've got a chance to share with you a little bit of my experience in terms of leadership in the EU. As some of you have found out, I'm getting a little bit older. I am 25, if anyone's curious about how old I actually am. And I've been around the EU for a while. And so there's a good chance for me to share some of the things that I've learnt through my experience being involved in leadership. Now, my first formal role of EU leadership was I was invited to join the Science Faculty-Based Evangelism Committee at the end of semester one in first year in 2008. At that time, I remember saying no because I wanted to give some other people a go. And clearly, I haven't followed that the whole way through my time at uni. I was able to join that committee and be involved in a variety of different things. And I've shared with a couple of people, one of my favourite things of being involved in leadership is the friendships that I've made on each of those teams. I hope you're looking forward to that in the year to come. Anyway, what can I share from my experience? I've decided, first of all, I want to give you a bit of a glossary of key terms in the EU, because there's been a couple of times when people have looked a little bit confused at what some of the acronyms mean or what some of the roles really are. So hopefully you know some of this, seeing as it relates to you. But let's make sure that we're all on the same page. Here are some terms that you may need to know. We'll work down and check each of these out. First of all, what is an EU faculty? Well, let's see how we can work that out. Well, what you're going to need for this is our Leadership Essentials booklet, that one of the booklets you would have got on the way in. What I'd like you to do is have a look on the first page. You can see the contents. We're going to be referring to a few different things here. We start off with the Constitution. I love this constitution. We then have the standing orders, strategy sheets, faculty leaders' briefs, standard guidelines, and a whole heap of things down beneath that as well. So first thing we need to do is we need to turn to page 6. Down the bottom of page 6, we're in the constitution section. There's point 7. Point 7 is called faculty groups. 7.1, faculty groups may be established, incorporated, merged, split, dissolved as deemed necessary by the executive. Faculties make up the EU. Rather than there being one whole body, well, there is one whole body, but we divide into many different faculty groups. And this includes people who are things like faculty groups which technically are specialist teams but are looking after faculties. An example is VET. Now, VET isn't technically a faculty, but really that doesn't matter because they are a faculty. They're looking after a group of people. They've got leaders. They've got people helping it out. We're going to go to the second one there, the faculty leaders. I need all the people who are faculty leaders to please stand. Excellent. Faculty leaders, there's a point here in the Constitution that relates to you, 7.3. Can I get you all to read out 7.3 together, please? Okay, have we all got it? Okay, I'm not a faculty leader, so I'm not going to read. I'll let you guys take it over. Okay, so that referred to the faculty leaders. Now, stay standing, because there's more about the faculty leaders that we can find in these documents. Turn to page 27, please, everyone. Now, as we're turning there, so these faculty leaders have been elected by their faculty groups. Again, we're talking about the AGMs. If you went to your faculty AGM, you would have been involved in this process of electing the faculty leaders, and these people will now be with their committee leading the faculty and helping their faculty achieve the objects through the next calendar year. Technically, the job starts on 1st of January, but there's so much prep to do, and that's why we're away here now. Okay, look at page 27. I wonder if you knew faculty leaders that you had a faculty leader's brief. This is a description of what your role is as faculty leaders. Now, if you're in a faculty committee, you're going to have to stand in a moment because you're going to help the faculty leaders to achieve this brief. A few different things to point out. There are, in the responsibilities section, there's three different parts. There's a public responsibility, as you are a public face of your faculty in terms of the faculty group as the EU. There's a pastoral responsibility to care for the people in your faculty, and a strategic responsibility to think wisely about how to be best achieving the objects, not just for any Christian, but for the Christians who study body-related science. For the Christians who study law, you've got to be thinking about, for those students, how to be strategic in terms of how to do ministry. Okay, sit down. I'm going to get the committees to stand. If you're on a faculty committee, I would like you to stand. So not a faculty leader, even though the faculty leaders fall on the committees too, but I'd like to isolate these people. Excellent. Welcome. Now, there's a handful of you who are probably here for the first time on changeover. If you're on a faculty committee and here for the first time, put your hand up. Excellent. Great. Thank you very much. Now, all of you, I'm going to need to read. We're going to go back to page six. Now, while the faculty leaders are part of this too, I'm going to get you guys to represent the committee side of things. So 7.2, those on the faculty committee, and faculty leaders, you can read this too, but you can stay sitting down. So all faculty leaders and faculty members, and even actually staff, if you are a staff member who's helping out on a committee, I would like you to be reading this too. So anyone who meets at your committee meeting, 7.2, go. Excellent, thanks. Sit down. The Constitution's so enlightening, isn't it? Maybe one day. So that explains formally what the faculty leader's general responsibility is and the faculty committee's general responsibility is, and then the faculty leader's brief is the guide to what that means. So please make sure, if you're involved in faculty committees, take the time to read those. Okay, moving down the list, we then have EU specialist teams. EU specialist teams are a little bit different to faculties. They don't represent a whole group of people. They actually represent a particular ministry of something that needs to get done. Now, where do we come up with this idea to have specialist teams? Well, again, there's some information in our leadership booklet. Specialist teams, turn to page 16, please. Now, 16 falls within the standing orders. The standing orders are a guide for how a set of policies for how the exec and the SMEs, which we'll talk about soon, needs to run the union. And there's some limitations. The goals are to achieve the objects. That's the same for all of us. But there's some limitations and some restrictions. Have a look at EL number 2, executive limitation number 2. This refers to team appointment and delegation. It refers a little bit to faculties too, but this time we're focusing on teams. Point one, with respect to teams, the executive shall not fail to establish and develop teams, both faculty and specialist. Point two, in confirming or appointing teams, the executive shall not fail to provide the team in question an adequate team brief, clearly articulating team purpose, responsibilities, and accountabilities. Specialist teams are here to be able to do a variety of the ministries that the EU wants to do. Take, for example, annual conference. Annual conference is a highlight of the year. It's a very important part. It's almost part of the big three, but it's not. But it's there. It's a very important part of what we do. How do we run ANCON? Well, is that up to the executive? Well, the executive doesn't run ANCON. Is that up to the faculty leaders? Well, there's responsibility for the faculty leaders to be bringing people along to ANCON, but the faculty leaders don't run ANCON. Who runs ANCON? Well, we have some leaders and a team which will run the conference. The same thing happens for public meetings. The same thing happens for many different things that we do in the EU. So I'd like anyone who is a faculty leader, a specialist team leader, sometimes known as a senior student, to please stand. Excellent. These guys are very special, as the name implies, so we would like to give them a clap right now. we're just going to go around. They're just going to share their name and what team they're involved with. Excellent. Please grab a seat. Now, there's something pretty special about Focus that we do need to mention. Now, Focus, again, is one of these teams that is a specialist team because there's no Focus faculty in the uni, but it's much more like a faculty as well, isn't it? Because it's a specific group of people where they need to be strategic, where they need to be a public face. And so the Focus leaders and the Focus committee do a great job of trying to achieve both sides of both being a faculty group and a specialist team at the same time. So they deserve some special attention within all of this. Now, we've got the senior students. Now, we've also got some specialist team members. Now, who here is a specialist team member? Would you be able to stand? Is there anyone here who's a specialist team member? Excellent. Well, again, could I get you to say the name and the team that you're a member of? Excellent. Grab a seat. So each specialist team has a leader. That leader also does work in partnership with staff. So there's a staff member who's associated with that because partnership goes through everything that we do in the EU. But then those leaders will then recruit a team. And these are some of the team members who are there. And Mike's going to talk a little bit about how we're almost in a recruiting season of the EU. And at the moment, there's a lot of specialist team leaders who have just been invited to take on a new role, and they need to be recruiting team members. Now, as faculty leaders, as some other people, and people on faculty committees, one of our responsibilities is to be sending people or encouraging people to be involved in specialist teams. You see, Steph is doing stuff with ANCON. I don't think Steph alone can run annual conference as good as she is at putting things together, such as changeover. But Steph needs a team to be able to help her in a variety of different ways to be able to make the conference as good as it possibly can be. So that's one of the ways that we can be working together as faculties and specialist teams to be able to achieving the objects. Okay, let's keep going. One more thing about specialist teams. As we mentioned in the standing orders, specialist teams, how do we run them? They have briefs. Now, I don't have a copy of the briefs in this because each specialist team has its own version of a brief. But there is things common across all the briefs. So would you all turn with me to page 30? Okay, page 30, it has standard guidelines. These are standard guidelines which go on every specialist team leader's brief. I'm not going to read through all of them. That's your job. Not now. If you haven't read through those, I'd encourage you to read through those, especially if you're on a specialist team. If you're on a faculty, it's helpful for you to know these things as well. Okay, let's keep going down the list. The executive. Could I please get the executive for 2014 to stand? Excellent. Okay. So if we go around the room, we've got Tim, we've got Andrew. Tim is one of the vice presidents. Andrew is the treasurer. Naomi is the secretary. James is one of the vice presidents, and Helen is one of the vice presidents. We also have Beth Kinks, who is currently partying it up in Venice. Actually, I think she's in Paris now, but that's a side point. She's another one of the vice presidents who is missing all of us, and she sent us many sad photos that she can't be with us today. Okay, executives, stay standing because we need to work out what your responsibilities are and how you fit in. If everyone would turn to page 5. Actually, you can look back on page 4. Again, our favourite document, the Constitution. 4.1, the SUEU, that's the Sydney Uni Evangelical Union, if you haven't picked it up yet, shall have an executive consisting of president, me, two male and two female vice presidents, 1, 2, 3, and overseas, secretary, Naomi, treasurer, Andrew. The executive have power to manage the society in accordance with the constitutions subjects to the restrictions of the constitutions. We can't do whatever we want. We need to work within what the constitution says. And who writes the constitution? Well, actually, I was part of it this time. But the EU as a whole decides what goes in the constitution. at an AGM, if we want to change the constitution, the EU needs to vote and we need, I think, a two-thirds majority to be able to change it. So we collectively write the constitution and delegate to the executive to carry it out. How does the executive do it? Well, there's faculties and there's specialist teams and all of those operate through the briefs that we've been looking at. Okay, executive, you can grab a seat. For those who are curious, and executive, make sure you read this. Point 5 in the Constitution has the duties of the executive, so you might find those helpful to look at. We're going to talk about the executive a little bit more in a minute, but there's two more things on this slide that I need to explain. Gets a little bit low, so I'll read them out. Firstly, there's the EU management team, and secondly, the General Council. What is the EU management team? The EU management team is a group of students made up of the executive, the faculty leaders, and the specialist team leaders. This is a team that will meet 6 or so times through the year to be able to talk about a variety of different management strategies and to make sure that communication is open between the executive and the teams, between the teams and the faculties, between the faculty leaders and the executive, and between all of us as a group. So if you're one of the faculty leaders or you're a specialist team leader, welcome. You're part of the EU management team. Next, we've got the General Council. Okay, looking at the General Council. Again, page 5 of the Constitution. Aren't you glad this is all printed out for you? It's great. Section 6, General Council. 6.1, there shall be a governing board called the General Council, shortened to GC, which shall have oversight over all of the affairs of the SUEU as expressed in the standing orders. Do you remember what the standing orders are? There's some documents that come a little bit later, which are the policies that the executive needs to be following to be able to run the EU. What does the General Council made up of? Well, you can see it right there. It's made up of some of the executive members. See how I've represented some executive members? Yep. It's also made up of some of the faculty leaders. If you are part of the faculty leaders, we're going to be getting together later on in the year and electing some people from the faculty leader body to be representing the faculty leaders and representing the EU on the General Council. Now, there's also space for 1 to 3 extra talents. Now, these can come from everywhere, but you will note that it's especially wise to consider specialist team leaders. But also, these can come from anywhere in the EU, and so maybe some other people here might be interested in being involved on the General Council. Now, I'm not going to go into full details of what the General Council does. There will be an opportunity to learn about that if you'd like a little bit later on in the year, and I'll talk about that in a moment. But the General Council acts a little bit like a governing board. Think of a company. There's an executive team within the company who, say, work full-time for the company, spend all day, every day there, getting a lot of work done and leading the organization. But then there's a board which meets less often, say perhaps once a month. And they are trying to manage the organization as a whole, but a little bit further to the side, being able to bring in different forms of wisdom and look at some broad structures rather than the specifics of how many events you're going to hold every week. This is a little bit about how the GC operates. So we've got a group of about, it goes from between 10 to 14 members. Some people here are on the GC this year. And we meet 6 times in the year to be able to discuss how to best continue moving the EU forward and to be using the standing orders to direct the executive on how to manage the day-to-day affairs of the EU. If you're interested in being involved, come talk to me at some point, and we can talk about that more. But as I said, there'll be an opportunity to be able to learn more about the GC and even become part of the GC later on in the year. Any questions? Ah, oh, good question. Before we get to the SMEs, there's one group of people who we didn't get to stand, and they actually are part of all these different groups. Now, if everyone who's on staff can just stand, we've seen you a few times, but I'd love you to stand again if you're part of the staff team. Now, one of the things about the staff team is You may know them from a particular way that you've related to them in the past. Maybe they've trained you in your assistant small group leader training. Maybe they were running your Bible study in first year. Maybe you're now a faculty leader and working with one of them closely. But the staff have many different responsibilities. And within these structures, the staff actually come into these in a lot of ways. We know that there's staff involved in each faculty. And if you're a faculty leader, you may have already started meeting up with staff members. Similarly, they're a part of the committees. Again, every specialist team will have staff members involved in those teams. And so we should thank God amazingly for the staff, because not only do they do one key thing, which many of us get to do, but they do many things and affect the EU in many ways. Let's thank the staff again for the role that they play. Okay, now the SMEs stands for the Special Meeting of Executive and Senior Staff. So now this doesn't include all of the staff. It doesn't even include all of the senior staff. We have three of the senior staff. Those three of the senior staff is Kaz, who is up the back, Rowan, who is down the front, and Paddy, who's driving a few kids down to Canberra. We meet for a couple of hours each week, and it's in this way that we model partnership within the executive and the day-to-day running of the EU. So the Constitution describes the executive of consisting of seven students. But if those seven students were to meet by themselves all the time and run the EU, that wouldn't be displaying partnership in this way. Therefore, there are three senior staff who will meet with us regularly. In a similar way to on your faculty committee or specialist teams, you have a member of staff or multiple members of staff on that team to be able to do the duty of looking after the EU. Okay, a little bit more about it. Why do we actually have a SMEs? We talked a bit about the executive. There's a few reasons. We get to look at the big picture, including each faculty and each specialist team. And that's fun. We get to try and facilitate the connections between faculties, teams and the GC. So one of the things we do is we organise these management meetings for us to come together. We organise changeover conference where we can be able to share things together. There'll be opportunities where teams need to communicate things to faculties, and sometimes we'll use the help of SMEs to do that. If different faculties have different great ideas and they haven't had an opportunity to share it to each other, sometimes us on SMEs will notice that because of our role looking at everything and be able to help you connect and use the same resources. We can also share some things that look good but don't work so that you'll be able to make sure that your faculty gets the best of the whole institutional knowledge that we have across the EU. Our final thing, we also form a formal connection between the EU and the USU, the University of Sydney Union, the Clubs and Societies program, other clubs and societies and the university. So to some extent, that's why we get up at public meetings and chair public meetings. We lead the mission events. We get to be a bit of a public face of the whole EU and allow for this sort of connection between, does our constitution match what the USU wants our constitution to be? Are we doing things that fit the USU requirements? Is the uni happy with us as a presence on campus? And fortunately, in many cases, they very much are. So thank you for making that job easy. Similarly, where the connection, as in the previous point, where the connection with the GC as well, whereby the GC will be directing the SMEs to be able to be leading the EU. Okay, final thing. How do you, we've talked about you, we've talked about the SMEs, we've talked about the staff. How do you relate to the SMEs? Three things. Get to know us and be friends with us. I'm getting a little bit old. I don't really know many first years in the EU. It was 6 years ago that I was in first year. It's great that I get to know so many leaders each year, and it's really exciting coming to changeover and seeing so many people with new ideas and new excitement about the year to come. I hope most of all that me and the rest of the SMEs can get to know you. We're really looking forward to that over the next year, as well as many other people through the union. So come up and say hi. Let's spend some time together. It's great. Share ideas and feedback. So research has been done into what are some of the pet hates of people in Christian organisations. I wonder if you can think what they might be. One of them is they don't get paid much. Not surprising. The second one is there's a distrust and often a grumbling and angst against those who are managing and against the managers. Now, there's a variety of different reasons why that might be the case, but sometimes it's because Christians aren't very good at conflict. We like to be nice to each other. most of you, I'm sure, don't want to come up and tell me that I've done a bad job. But if I've done a bad job, it's important that we talk about it. So if you've got feedback, both positive and negative, please do share it with the Smiths. Please tell us what's going on, because it'll help us do our role of looking after the whole EU well. The best way to do this is through members of Smiths who are assigned to particularly relate to your team. Now, we are available to talk to each of you, and come talk to us at any stage. Please do come share with me things that you're finding great and even things that you're finding difficult. But every single team, and even each faculty, will have people from Smiths who are particularly assigned to be coming alongside you and working with you as you achieve the objects in your way. Now, these haven't been fully assigned yet. They're going to be assigned by the end of the year. And if that hasn't happened, then you can, by the end of the year, you can come up and ask any of us, and we should be able to tell you who is assigned to be working with you. And they're the best person to be talking to about issues or ideas or things that you want to share with Smiths, because they'll also be communicating things back with you as well. Okay, in light of this, I've got two things that I'd like to invite some people here to. Firstly, I've got an invitation to all of you who are team leaders. So this is all of the senior students running specialist teams and all of the faculty leaders. You are invited to an evening at the end of semester. It's on the Monday in Stuvac, so you can spend all day studying and then come party with us in the evening. And we're going to be having a bit of a celebration with last year's EU management team for the year that's been. And also an excitement, and a moment of looking forward to the year to come. So you're invited from 5 o'clock to come on. We're going to be celebrating. Also, this might be a chance for us to look more at what the GC is. So at this meeting, we're going to be electing in a new GC from amongst the faculty leaders. And then if you'd like to stay along and see what GC does, later on in that evening, GC is going to meet. You're welcome to attend. The second invitation is for all faculty leaders and faculty committees. If you're on a specialist team, you can just go on holiday somewhere else. Faculty leaders and faculty committees on, again, we like doing Mondays. Monday straight after exams, there is going to be a morning where we do some concrete planning in terms of what next year is going to look like. You may have found it a little bit confusing working out what your role is here at Changeover. And I think that's been okay, because changeover hasn't been about forming concrete plans. Changeover has been about getting on board with the vision of the EU, getting on board with the objects, learning about biblical leadership, learning about partnership, and in the rest of this session, getting a snapshot of what next year is going to look like. On this day, faculty leaders, faculty committees, and we on the executive and SMEs are going to be there too, are going to be launching practical ideas about how we're going into next year, and giving you some specific ways that as faculties on your planning days away next year or times that you meet up in the holidays can be preparing for 2014. So there's the two invitations for you. Now, if you turn to page 12 in your other booklet, your changeover booklet, there was space for me to share 5 top tips of leadership that I've learnt from my last 5 years of leadership in the EU. Because I spent time talking about the structures in the EU, which are all very exciting, I'm going to have to go through these really quickly. There's stories about each of them, so if you want to ask those stories, you might have to come up to talk to me later. But here are my 5 top tips from what I've learnt being a leader in the EU. Firstly, motivating and recruiting is tough, but we are the ones to do it. Yesterday, the SMEs was sharing different moments of growth that we've had, and there was a common element amongst many of them. Many of the SMEs, many of the executive, had been asked at some point in their uni career, in their EU degree, to step up in a form of leadership or to take on an activity such as walk up or leading a Bible study that they didn't feel right to do, didn't feel competent to do. But in each case, they shared that was one of the most significant moments of growth. We as leaders need to not only, and I say only because we do need to consider it, not only consider the views and opinions of the people in terms of people we serve in terms of what they would like to do, of course, we do need to consider that. That is very important. But we also need to consider how they can grow in ways that they may never have imagined. So this will come into the recruiting as we do it over the next few weeks. This will be come into when we're inviting people along to things like annual conference and public meetings. If you believe that public meetings is worthwhile for the people you're inviting along, then sometimes you need to convince them why it might be worthwhile for them. They don't need to come, but you can convince them why it's worthwhile, rather than just seeing if they'd like to come as well. Okay, tip number two, plan now on how you'll spend time in 2014. When I was in second year, I was leading at a youth group on a Friday night. It was actually a very long youth group because it involved two youth groups. We started at 5 o'clock and finished at 11:30. Very long night. But in second year science, typically you don't have too much on a Friday. Fridays was my day to catch up on EU activities. When are you going to be doing your EU activities next year? These last couple of years, now I don't lead youth group anymore, but now my wife leads youth group on a Friday night, and that means that I have Friday nights free. So sometimes I get to watch football. Other times I stay at uni and get work done and catch up on the EU things that, well, just need to happen. What I'm saying is, have you thought about when you're going to be doing EU planning, EU work, EU phone calls next year? Or is it going to be a surprise when you get to week one and realize you haven't set aside any time to be doing your EU activities? I don't know what it's going to be for you. If you want to chat about it, let's chat and work out when the right time is. But let's plan now about when the EU activities are going to be. One practical way to do that is if you go to the back of your Leadership Essentials booklet, we're jumping around a lot, I know. Not the last pages, which is the EU Leaders Directory. Flick back one page before. Important dates for 2014. If you haven't already, you should be putting these in your phone or your diary or however you are going to remember them. Because if you don't write down when ANCON is, you may end up organising a holiday over those days. You'll see here that Monday nights is a key activity for those in the EU management team. Six times a year we'll be getting together for EU management meetings and GC. So Monday nights are an important night to do things for the EU. So you may want to consider whether you volunteer to be in a church Bible study on a Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night. People can do it Monday night as well and work out how they manage the two. But why don't you think about them now rather than when you're in the middle of it next year? Okay, powering through. Practice praying. The EU is a great chance to practice a lot of things for life. We get to practice leadership. We get to practice leading Bible studies under the supervision of staff. We get to practice leading senior Bible study groups without staff, but still working with the staff and student leaders. It's great practice for what we do after we leave university. From my experience in the EU, I'd advise that we should practice praying, both corporately, with other people one-on-one, and as individuals as well. I want to share that that's actually been something encouraging for me in terms of the way that I've prayed with other people one-on-one or in small groups from first year to now has changed dramatically. I learned that you can pray over the phone. If you're not physically with someone, there's nothing stopping with you praying over the phone. I've learned that you can pray walking along the footbridge over City Road. I've learned that you can pray with non-Christians. I've learned that you can pray with Muslims. I've learned that you can pray for people when things are hard, whether or not they like it. And I've learned that people like that. And it was the end of when we were doing physics honours, and a variety of rampant atheists who knew we were Christians came up to us and said, hey, can you four of us pray? Can the four of you please pray for us? Because we're stressed, we've got a thesis to do, and we need your help. I'm glad that I've learnt to pray a little bit more. Now, that does come also with a warning. I think I've learnt to pray in public and with other people more. I think I need to practice more praying in private. So let's make sure that this time as EU leaders, we get to practice both public and private prayer. Two last things. Do something drastic to evangelize. When I was in second year, I went on the Runway Conference at the start of the year, which was what Leadership Summit used to be called, and was convicted about how important it was to serve the lost. The EU science faculty decided one of the ways that we were going to serve the lost was send someone into the science review. And I said, pick me. I spent a year singing, dancing, acting, dressed up in a variety of costumes. I sang a song called Hydrofluorochloroethylbromobenzyl Nitrate. I'll find the clip for you sometime. And got to meet many friends, Christian and non-Christian, within the science review. They expected there was no Christians there. There was heaps of Christians there. They just didn't know to be public. Anyway, one of the reasons why I share how exciting that was is that it was just a month ago that I got in contact with someone who I met and barely had any contact since in science review in second year, who wants to sit down and talk to me about the reasons why I'm a Christian. This is 4 or 5 years later. He wants to sit down with me and talk about why I'm a Christian. Do something crazy to evangelize. My final tip, take someone else along with you. I don't want to pretend that it's not scary to do walk-up. I don't want to pretend it's not scary to go join the science review and try and find out who else the Christians are, even while they're practicing for the nude sketch down the hall. I don't want to pretend it's not scary leading a Bible study for the first time. It's not scary sitting next to a new person, a stranger at public meetings. Sometimes it's even scarier when you may know their name and you may have forgotten it and you need to sit next to them. These things are scary. And some of the best ways to learn how to do it is to do it with someone else. We as leaders don't just need to be putting ourselves out there for evangelism. Let's bring people along with us. And this is one thing I hope to continue to do. Do something crazy in evangelism and take someone else along so that they might be able to continue that legacy for some time to come. Okay, what I'd like to do now is spend some time where we do practice praying and even do that in a personal way. As I said, there's heaps of stories that I've got from the last handful of years on these things, and I'd love to tell you all about it. So come up and chat to me at another time. But right now, I'd like you to take just 2 minutes by yourself to pray. No one else is listening. Stay where you are and take 2 minutes to pray.